Today's Daf Shavua Shir in Yerushalmi Brachas is dedicated to the memory of Dora Bas Yisrael Silver Olea Shalom. It begins in the Oz V'Hadar edition on Daf Pei Tes Amid Aleph, seven lines from the top with the words Omer Rav Acha. In the Vilna edition, it is on Daf Samech Dalid Amid Aleph. Begins the Gemara, Omer Rav Acha. We are in the middle of a sugya where Eliyahu Navi asked Rav Nimroi, what is the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings earthquakes on the world? So Rav Nimroi responded, because people don't give Trumas and Maestris properly. And Eliyahu told him a different reason, that the reason is that Hashem sees that the world is peaceful, undisturbed, secure, the theaters of the Goyim and their feasting places, and then Hashem sees the Beis HaMikdash is Charev, he wants to destroy the whole world, and that's the earthquake. And we saw from the Rav Yoh in the last year that he says the Tehillos of Yisrael calm HaKadosh Baruch Hu down, V'ata Kadosh Yoishev Tehillos Yisrael. The Tehillos Yisrael are the ones that are Miyashiv Hashem, that he does not destroy the world. Now Rav Acha comes along, and he's going to give us a third reason why Hashem brings earthquakes. Amar Rav Acha, Ba'avoin Mishkav Zachur, because of homosexuality. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hashem said, Ata ziyazata evarecho aldover sheni shalach. You let your limbs shake when a person does the act of bia, so his limbs shake, and you did it for something that is not yours. I gave a halacha in the Torah that it's usur to do homosexuality. So chayecho, I swear by your life, Shani Mizazea Oilami Al Oisra Ishta, because of that man who you had relations with, I will shake my whole world, just like your body was shaking when you did the act with him. Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan gives us a fourth reason for an earthquake, Mivnea Machloikis, because of Machlokes, division, arguments between people. And for this, they bring a pasuk in Zechariah, Perek Yudalid, pasuk Hey. The pasuk says, "V'nastem, you will run, Gei Hore, to the valley of the mountains, Ki Yagia Gei Horim, because the valley of the mountains will reach El Etzel to Etzel." But the main rise is from the end of the pasuk. The pasuk continues, which the Gemara does not bring here. "V'nastem, you will run." Kasher nastem ipnei harash, you will run because of the way that you ran, because of the rash, the turmoil. Bimei Uzio Melch Yehuda, in the days of Uzio, the king of Yehuda. So we see the Gemara understands rash is the earthquake. That earthquake came in the days of Uzio. And Zechariah was telling Klal Yisrael that you will run just like you ran when the earthquake occurred in the days of Uzio. And why did the earthquake come in the days of Uzio? If we look in the Pnei Moshe, in the second line in the left-hand column, Ki Agia Gehorim El Etzel, V'seif V'dekrov, V'nastem Kasher Nastem, Ibnei Arash, V'mei Uzio Melch Yudah, V'zeh Hoyim Ibnei Amachloikis, She'ir Al-Akuna. Uzio wanted to take over the Kohanim, or he writes the Konslefnim, Lachter Ktaris, he wanted to bring Ktaris in the Kotcha Kedoshim, just like the Kohen Gadol does, on Yom Kippur. So, as a result, there was a earthquake, which they ran away from in fear. So we see that an earthquake comes because of Uzio's chet of making discord in Klal Yisrael. However, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Ein Rash Al Hefzik Malchus. The earthquake did not come because of the Machlaikas. The earthquake signaled that Uzio's Melucha was coming to an end. Where do we find a similar thing? K'mo Dat Amar. As we find in a different pasuk, Vatira Sh'aretz Vateichel, the earth quaked and it shuddered. Ma, why? Because the thoughts of Hashem that there should be a country uninhabited, that the malchus of Bavel should cease, that's what the earthquake signaled. So just like in the case of Bavel, when it came the end of malchus Bavel, there were earthquakes to show that the Maluch is ceasing, so too there was an earthquake in the time of Uzziah to show that his Malucha is now coming to an end. Continues the Gemara. Elio Zachalotav Shaul Rab Neroi. Elio asked another question to Rab Neroi. Why did Hashem create insects in and crawling creatures in his world? What's the purpose of them? Amar Loi, Rabbi Neroi responded, Letzayrich Nevru, they were created for a purpose. What is the purpose? B'shosha b'ris chaitin, when man sins, who mabit ben Hashem looks at the crawling insects, V'oimer, and he says, Ma elu she'im b'em tzayrich, hare ani mekaimon, if these creatures that really don't have a purpose, I am sustaining them. Elu, mankind, sheesh b'mehen tzarech. Mankind helps in the development of the world. So leikol shein, certainly that I should have rachmanis on them and not destroy them. Amar lei, so Elio said back, oid hein yesh ben tzarech. They have a purpose even without what you said. For example, zvuv letzira, the fly serves as a remedy for the sting of a bee. You crush the fly and you place it on the place of the sting. Rashi tells us this in Masechta Shabbos in the Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Pishbeish le'alukta. The bed bug is a remedy for a leech. Dipnei Moshe explains that if somebody swallows a leech, the remedy is to crush the bed bug into water and drink it. Nochosh a snake, lechafifis, to certain kinds of boils. Shichlon lechazoyis, the slug provides a remedy for sores. And finally, samimis laakrov, and the spider serves as a remedy for the sting of a scorpion. So we can ask, but what's the benefit of the bee? We're using a fly for the sting of a bee. Well, what about the bee itself? What about the leech? What about the scorpion? And the Ifemar says that all of these have a purpose. For example, the bee makes honey. The leech used for bloodletting. The scorpion is used for an ingredient in various medications. So they have a purpose. The other ones have a purpose that they can cure a person if he was stung by the bee. Or if he swallowed a leech. So each creature, even more than is listed here, but this is just an example of insects where each one has its own unique purpose. Continues the Gemara in the next part of the Mishnah. Allah Barakim, on lightning. We make Kach Rasim Aliyah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Chazdoi, Dayu Pamachs Pchol Yoim. It's enough to say this bracha once a day. Rabbi Yosi, Man and Kaiman. What exactly is the case? Imbit Tordin, if it's a constant storm that doesn't go away, doesn't dissipate, and it's a whole day to storm, Dayu Pamachs Pchol, then that's what Rav Chazdoi said, that it's enough once a day. But what Rav Chazdoi was not speaking about, im mafsikin, if one storm goes away and a few hours later another storm comes, then mevorach al kol achas v'achas, then you have to make a bracha on each one. Chele de Rabbi Yosi, what's the strength of Rabbi Yosi? Where does Rabbi Yosi have a raya that this is so? Min hadah, from a different halacha, which states, Hoy Yosh b'chanusha shaboysim kol yoyim ein mevarach alachas. A person sells fragrances and spices, and he smells these delicious smells a whole day, so he only makes it once. He comes into the store in the morning, he'll make a bracha, bar min psamim. But if he was constantly coming in and out, then each time he enters the store, it's a new hana from the psamim. Then he makes it every time. The same thing. If there's a hefsik, a separation between one storm and another, then on each thunder and lightning, he would make a separate bracha. And now the Gemara confirms that Rabbi Yossi said this halacha. Also, Omer Rav Acher V'Chanina b'shem Rabbi Yossi. Rav Acher V'Chanina said this very halacha in the name of Rabbi Yossi. In betardin diapamach b'yayim. If it's a constant storm, then you only make it once a day on lightning and thunder. Ibim avsikim. But if this storm went away, there was a separation until the next storm came, then mevorach al kol achzorachas. Then he has to make on each lightning and on each thunder that he experienced in each storm, he makes a separate bracha. In the storm itself, if a few times there was lightning, of course, he'd only make one. But if there was a storm 5 hours ago and he saw lightning then, and now 5 hours later he sees lightning again, he makes a new bracha. Continues the Gemara. If a person was sitting in a bathroom, now some are goyris here, beis hamerchatz. These are places where a person is not allowed to make a bracha. The Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita in his Bir on Yerushalmi has the Girsa Sepikiria, but he explains it to mean merchatz. However, others understand Sepikiria to mean a slaughterhouse where there is a foul odor. Im Yochel Lotzis Vulevork Batarkade Dibber, if he can exit from the Beis Akisei or the Beis HaMerchatz, Tarkadei Dibber, Yetze, he should go out and say the bracha. V'im lavla Yetze, but if he can only get out and it'll take more than Tarkadei Dibber, then he should not bother. He does not have to go out. What is the shir of Tarkadei Dibber? It's a machlokas. Some say it's Shalom Alecha Rebbe, and others say it's Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. Rabbi Yirmiyah Boyi, similar to the question that we just had, Rabbi Yirmi had a question. A person was naked in his house, and there was now thunder and lightning. So he'll make his house as if it is an article of clothing. He'll stick his head out of the window, and he'll make the bracha. And we'll explain the question in a moment. A second similar question. He was sitting in a chest, arm naked. Can the chest now become like an article of clothing that he's wearing, and he'll put his head outside of the window? He's in the chest, and his head will be outside the window. Could he or not? The Yerushalmi does not resolve the question. What actually is the question? What does it hinge on? So, concerning making a bracha with an erva, there are two isurim that everybody agrees to. One is to see an erva, to gaze at it. One cannot make a bracha. But there's also a prohibition of making a bracha in the presence of an erva, even if a person does not gaze at the erva. In our question here, in both questions, he doesn't see the erva. He has his head outside the window and his body is inside, so he doesn't see it. And he's not in the presence of it. He's like in another rishus. He's outside the window. So that wouldn't be a problem. What our Gemara is discussing and does not make a resolution is the question of liboy royas erva. That it's not enough that he doesn't see it or he's not in the presence of it, but even if it's covered, but his heart can see the erva, some say that that is a problem. That's Gemara's question here. Is there a problem of liboy royas erva? The only way a person could take care of that would be, for example, that he would take a belt and he would put it around a garment, and then we would say that the top half of his body and the bottom half are not seeing one another. They're like two separate halves, and then there's no problem. So the Gemara here is discussing, is there a problem or not? If there's a problem of Libra Reis Erva in our case, then even though his head is outside, so he's not seeing his Erva, he's not in the presence of his Erva, he's in a different Rishus, but his lave is still inside the house, and his lave sees the Erva. Or is there not a problem of Libra Reis Erva? If it's not a problem, he could make a bracha. If it is a problem, then he cannot. The Yerushalmi doesn't resolve it. However, the Rosh paskins that there is an issue of Libra Reis and Erva, and therefore in this case he would not be able to make the bracha by putting his head outside the window. He can't make the bracha over lightning or thunder. Continues the Gemara, next part of the Mishnah. Ala Ruchos on winds, Ma'oimer Borosh, Shekoicha Moli Oila. Masnis our Mishnah, Bishabo and Bizaf, when the winds come with a fury. A hurricane. Avol beboim benachas. But when they come gently, oimer boruch oisa bereshis. Then he doesn't say koichi gvasim ali oilam. He says boruch oisa bereshis. Is this referring to a gentle breeze? Says the Magen Avraham Sim Reshch of Zion that boim benachas means that they don't have zaf. They don't have fury. But they're great and powerful winds. On that, you make a bracha, but on a gentle breeze, that's not what the Gemara means, of a bon benachas, a gentle breeze. Yes, it's a powerful wind, a strong, powerful wind, but it's not coming with a zaf, with fury. Then you make a bracha, but not karka ras ma'om, you make aysa bereshit. Amar Rabbi Yishu ben Chananya, b'shoh sharuch yetzel olam, when Hashem sends out the wind to the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mishavrei Boharim, Hashem breaks it over mountains, Umarashli, and weakens it, big voice, in the hills. The Yomer Loyan Hashem says to the wind, Tein Datcha, pay attention, Shaloi Tazik B'Yosai, that you will not damage my creations, Matam, where do we see a source for this in the Pasuk, that Hashem makes sure to weaken the storm, the stormy winds. The pasuk says, "Ki ruach l'fana yatoif," the wind will in front of me become weakened. Mishalele, Hashem weakens the wind. K'madat Amar, where do we find that the word yatoif means to weaken? As it says in another pasuk, "Behis ateif olai ruchi," when my spirit becomes weak. So we see his ateif means weak, and therefore l'fana yatoif in the previous pasuk also means to weaken. Continues the Gemara on Daf Pei Tes Amid Beis, Kol Kach Lama. Why, in fact, does Hashem weaken the winds? Rav Chuna, B'Shem Rav Acha, because the end of the pasuk says, the full pasuk is in Yeshaya, Perek Nun Zayin, pasuk Tes Zayin, Ki Lo'oy Lo'oylam Orev, V'lo'y Lenetzach Ektsoiv, Ki Ruach Mufana Yatoiv, Unishamais Ani Asisi. That's the part that our Gemara brings here. Unishamas Neasisi means Bishvil Nishamas Shosisi. Because of the Nishamas that I created, that's why I make sure to break the wind, to weaken the wind so that it does not bring damage to my creations. Continues the Gemara. Rav Huna said, "B'shloishim mekaymis, three places. Yotza ruach, the wind went out. Shaloi b'mishkal, not in the proper measure. Ubikesh lahachru v'sa'olim kuloi, and it wanted to destroy the entire world. Achas b'mei yoina. One time this happened in the days of yoina. V'achas b'mei Eliyo, and one time it happened in the days of Eliyo. V'achas b'mei Eiv, and once was in the days of Eiv." Where do we see this in the Psukim? Bimei Yoina, in the days of Yoina, it says that a storm came and then they threw Yoina overboard and the fish swallowed Yoina. Vashem hitel ruach adoyla. Hashem placed a great wind and the storm. So that was the by Yoina. Bimei Iyov. From the other side of the midbar, a strong wind came and it knocked down the house of Eev with his children inside, and they were killed. Hashem allowed the Satan to kill the children of Eev as a test for Eev. B'mehel'yoh, we find also a wind in the days of Eliyahu. Minayin v'nei Hashem oiver v'ruach doyle chazak mefarek harim. It broke the mountains. Amar Rav Yudin Bar Shalom, neimer oisah shel Eliyahu b'shvilei hayo, v'shel Yonah b'shvilei hayo. He disagrees. He says those were local. That one was for Eev personally, one was for Yonah personally, because he didn't want to go to Nineveh. It wasn't universal. Ein lecha ela shel Eliyahu shehayu kusmikon. It's only Eliyahu which was universal. The let's see the Pnei Moshe top line shayu kusmikon shaylet b'chol oylam. That's the lashon of the pasuk, which states, "Vehine Hashem oiver v'ruach gedola v'chazik mefarik harim u'mishaber slum." Lifnei Hashem, loy beruach Hashem, v'acharuach rash, loy berash Hashem, and after the rash there was eish, loy be'eish Hashem, and Hashem came in a very quiet manner to Eliyahu, but in this whole process, it mentions the word Rosh, that's an earthquake. It mentions the wind, a strong wind coming. And we see it was universal because it broke many mountains and many rocks. So it wasn't just personally for Eliyahu, but it had an effect on a larger scale. So that's how the Pnei Moshe learns Kusmikun. If we look in the Chredim, also similar, Kusmikun, in Yonai Kolel. It's universal. It's not just for Yoina or Eev. It's universal. That's the one that you should mention, that it didn't come B'mishkal, and Bikish Lahachrif Esa Olam Kuloi. As the Pasuk concludes, V'hine Hashem Oiver V'achkach Rash V'acharash Eish Loi B'eish Hashem. Continues the Gemara, quoting our Mishnah, Rabbi Hudoimer, Harayas Hayamagadol. If somebody sees the Oceanus or the Mediterranean, Oimer Bor Shaasas Hayamagadol, because it's so chashiv, he makes a special bracha, according to Rabbi Huda. Bizman Shirei Leprakim, that's only if he sees it from time to time. Vekamahu Perik Echad L'shloishim Yoim. And what is considered a Perik? Once in 30 days. The Gemara tells us that Shimon Kamatria, Shimon the cabinet maker, Shol Reb Chiya Bar Bo, he asked the following Shaila to Reb Chiya Bar Bo, Begain de Ano Chamar, I'm a donkey driver. V'solik Yerushalayim b'chol shana, I go once a year to Yerushalayim. Ma'o shenikra, when a person sees Yerushalayim in its state of destruction as it is today, so do I have to make Kriya every year when I go? Or maybe I have to make it only every 10 years. Maybe making it once a year is too short of a time to tear Kriya. Omar Lei, in B'tar Shloshim Yoyim, Iyato Tzarech L'Kriya. If you go once in 30 days, less than 30 days, you don't have to tear Kriya. But Lachar Shloshim Yoyim, if you go more than 30 days, Tzarech Hato L'Kriya, if you go once a year, then you certainly have to make Kriya, because every time you come, it's like a new experience, and you have to make a new Kriya. The Shinui Nischois has a different girsa here. He brings it down from the Rush Cirillo, that learned that it's Gairus, that Shimon Kamatria asked Reb Chiya Bar Bo, Kugoyin Da'ana Chamar V'Sog Rosham B'chol Sho'a Ma'osh Nigger. I go constantly, every couple days, I go to Yerushalayim, and he brings the Rosh. The Rosh's girsa is B'chol Shah V'Shah. I go very frequently to Yerushalayim. Do I have to be Tegriya? And he told him, since you go less than 30 days, you don't have to tear Kriya, unless there'll be an interval which is more than 30 days. From here, says the Chredim, in the name of the Rosh, the third line, left-hand column of the Chredim, Mikan Hevi or Rosh Raya, the Chol Brachas the Pirkin, Haraya Makam. All the Brachas that we find in this Perik, Haraya Makam, for example, let's start with that one. A person sees a place that a Nes happened to him, to his Ovis, he has to make a special Bracha. let's say he sees it every 2 weeks. Einon ela mishloishim yom mishloishim. What's the raya? Because here we're not just speaking about the yama gadol. The Mishnah put it next to the yama gadol, leprakim, which is echad lishloishim yom. But here we're already speaking about another halacha. Here we're speaking about a halacha of kriya, and we see the same shear. The shear is 30 days. So the Rosh brings a raya that all the birchas hariyah of our perek are all totally in this time of once in 30 days. Just like when you see Yerushalayim, the person has to be Ter Kriya once in 30 days. So when he sees all the things in our Mishnah, that's when he makes a bracha once in 30 days. And it's not just the Yom HaGadol. Continues the Gemara, since we have mentioned Shimon Kamatria in the last Gemara, the question that he asked Rav Chiya bar Bo concerning Kriya on Yerushalayim. So since his name was mentioned, the Gemara is going to tell us another memra that Shimon Kamatria was involved in. Says the Gemara, Rav Chuna, v'Shimon Kamatria b'shem, Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, they said in the name of Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, on the Pasuk, v'Yoinis and ben Gershom ben Menashe, Nun Tolui. The Nun in the word Menashe is higher up on the cloth, on the parchment, than the other three letters. So, Im Zocha, if this person, Yoinison, is Zocha ben Moshe, then we can read the word without the Nun. He's the grandson of Moshe, Vim Lav, and if he doesn't go away from his bad derech, we'll soon see what he did wrong. Then the Nun falls down in place, and his name is Ben Menashe, to remind us of Menashe, who served Avodah Zarah. So Yoinison was, as we're going to see, a priest for the Avodah Zarah Pesel Micha, which later we find in Shoftim, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Lamed, Vayakimu Lohem B'nei Don, Es HaPesel, V'yoynesen Ben Gershom Ben Menashe, Hu Uvonov Hoyu Koyhanim L'Shevet Adoni, Ad Yoyim Galois Oretz, until Sancheiriv took the Eser Shvatim into Golos. So Yoynesen, the son of Gershom, the son of Menashe, he and his children were the Koyhanim for Shevet Dun, which had the Pesel Micha. So the Pasuk did not want to be Mevazim Moshe and tell us that his grandson, unfortunately, was serving Avodah Zarah, so it made the Nun higher that it could be read Menashe. On the other hand, if it'll turn out that Yoinison does Tshuva, then we can, since it's raised, it could be called Ben Moshe. So what was the story here? Chavraya born Kumi Rav Shmuel bar Nachman. So the colleagues of Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, who we just quoted, Rav Chuna and Shimon Kamatria quoted the name of Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, why the Nun is up in the air. So they asked Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, we don't understand. Koimer hoyel avayda zar. This Yoinison, we find, was a priest for Avodah Zarah, V'herch Yomim. He lived 1,000 years because the Pasuk says, Ad Yoyim Galois Oretz. And from Shoftim until the Golos of Sancheiriv of the Eser Shvatim, there were 1,000 years. And it says he and his children were practicing. They were the priests of this Avodah Zarah. How could it be Marach Yomim if he was an Avodah Zarah? Amar Loin, so Rav Shmuel bar Nachman answered, Al Yedei Shehoya Einoi Tzor B'Avodah Zarah Shloi, because his eye was very tight. He was stingy concerning his idol. Kate said, Hoysa Einoi Ra B'Avodah Zarah Shloi. How was his eye stingy? Or, as the Rosh Cirillo has it, Kate said, Hoya Einoi Tzor B'Avodah Zarah Shloi, because that's what we're talking about. He had a stingy look to the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara explains, Havi bar Nash asl mikveh, if a person came to bring a korban to the Avodah Zarah, tur, of a ox, oy emir, or a sheep, oy gdi, or a goat, la vodazarva, omrele, and the person bringing the korban would say to Yoinesen, Faisi olai, through this korban, appease my God, appease Pesel Micha, vahu, omrele, and what would Yoinesen respond? Mazu moyelulach. What does this avodah zarah help you? Loi roya doesn't see. Loi shemas doesn't hear. Loi achelas doesn't eat. Loi shoyse doesn't drink. Loi mativa doesn't do good. Loi maria doesn't do bad. Loi medabers doesn't speak. Amalei. So the person who heard this said, Chayecha, by your life. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Man navid. I have to bring something. Amalei. So Yoinesen said, okay. Ozel. Avid, va'aisli chad pinich the silas, bring me one dish of fine flour, va'askin alove and eser bayin, and you should place upon it 10 eggs, va'askin kamoy, I will prepare it for the avodah zarah, v'hu oichal mikoma da'asi, and he will eat from whatever I bring. Others, the Shinin Schoah says, are not goyrus these words, va'anom fa'aislo aloch, and if you are goyrus the words, through the eating of what you are bringing, I will get a peace for you. I will appease the Pesel Micha. Nekivin de Azalei. So this person brought the fine flour, brought the 10 eggs. Once he departed, Havachalain. So Yonison ate, that was his lunch for that day. He would eat the fine flour with the 10 eggs. Zim nechada one time. Also chad bar pachin, a very intelligent person came, a smart person, Amalei came. So he gave him the same schmooze that what is this avodah zarah help you, Amalei. So the person said to Yoinesen, im einem ma'ila klum, if it doesn't do anything. So atma avaracha, what are you doing here? Why are you the koimer to this avodah zarah? Amalei begain chayi parnusa. A Jew has to make parnasa, so therefore I sold myself to the avodah zarah for parnasa. When David became king, he heard about the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu was a koimer for Pesel Micha. He sent for him, and he appeared in front of David. So David says to Yoinesen, At ben benoishel oisit tzaddik, you're the grandson of that tzaddik Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'at oivir avodah zarah, and you are serving avodah zarah malei. I got this as a Kabbalah from my grandfather Moshe Rabbeinu. Sell yourself to avodah zarah. Don't come on to charity. That's why I did what I did. So David said to him, heaven forbid. That's not what your grandfather said. He said a little different. But it makes a big difference. El ha-mechor atzimachol la'avoidah she'izor alach about the tzarech lebrius. Sell yourself for work that is strange to you. It's not nice work. As long as that earns you a livelihood, and don't come on to people, don't come on to charity. As the Gemara tells us, pshoit nevela b'shuk v'al tzarech lebrius. Skin nevelas in the marketplace. Even though it's a very disgusting job, but don't, you get a salary, don't come on to people. So David saw the main thing is he needs parnas, he needs money, and he likes money. So what did David do to get him away from the avodah zarah? He made him a minister al tizbur shaloi on the treasuries of David HaMelech. That's what we find in the pasuk. Ushvuel ben Gershom ben Moshe. Nogid Aloitzaris, he's the minister over the treasuries. Shvuel, who is that? That's Yoinesen. Sheshav El Kael B'chol Liboy. That's why he's called Shvuel. He returned to Hashem. David made him into a Baal Tshuva. U'b'chol Koichai, with his whole heart, with his whole power. Nogid Aloitzaris, what does that mean? Shemino, he appointed him Al Tizbir Shalai on his treasuries. So they asked the question to Reb Shmuel Menachman, V'oksiv ad yom glois oretz. We mentioned this pasuk from Shoiftim before, that he and his sons were kohanim to the Pesel Micha ad yom glois oretz, until Sachera brought them into Golis, which was 1,000 years later. So we see Ilachaira from the pasuk that he was a koimer to the Avodah Zarah up till the Golis of the Aseres HaShvatim. So how could you say that he did tshuva? Are my loins? So he answered them, Kiv and Shemaiz David, when David died, Ah, Machloi, Machloi, Magarav, Achilev, son Cletan, as a new king does, he's going to get new ministers. All the old ministers out. Chilev, son Cletan, Shaloi, he took for himself new ministers. And therefore, he was now out of a job, Yoinesin. Shvuel was out of a job. Chazer lekilkuloi arisha, and he went back, and he was Yoinesin ben Gershon ben Menashe. He no longer is called Shvuel ben Gershon ben Moshe. That was when it was good. The Nun was up in the air. We could read it Moshe. No. Now we read the Nun with Moshe and becomes Menashe, who is synonymous with Oyved Avodah Zarah. That's who he became, Yoinesin. Hadol d'chsev, we find in the Pasuk, the Navi Echad Zokin Yoshev Beisel, there was a Navi Sheker sitting in Beisel. Amren the Chachamim said, who have it? Who was this false prophet sitting in Beisel? That was Yoinesin. So at the end of his days, according to Rishami, Chazal Asura, he went back to his old ways. Parnusa, because of Parnusa, you sell your soul to the devil. You become back a koimer for the Avodah Zarah. However, this is the opinion of the Yerushalmi. The Bavli, we do not find, has this ending. According to the Bavli, Shvuel Sheshav El Kael B'chol Liboy B'chol Koichai. I have a little aura that, according to the Bavli, it makes sense why he was called Shvuel. He returned to Hashem totally. But according to the Yerushalmi, if he still had the Yetzer of money, and for money he would do anything, then it's a little difficult why the Pasuk says that he returned to Hashem b'chol libo b'chol koichai. There was still a part of him that liked money. And eventually, according to Yerushalmi, he went back to his old ways. He became a Navi Sheker for the Avodah Zarah. He was a Kaimer for the Avodah Zarah until he was brought into Golis with Aseres HaShvatim. So why would the Pasuk say that he was Shav El Kel B'chol Liboy, unless we say that at that time, when he didn't have the Nisayon of Parnassah, he had a good paying job with David HaMelech, he was able to be shav b'chol liba b'chol koichai, and later the Yetzer got the best of him. This is the story of Yoinesin ben Gershon, according to the Bavli ben Moshe, and according to the Yerushalmi, at the end of his life, ben Menashe. Now that we have finished the sugya here in the Yerushalmi concerning Yoinesin, the son of Gershom, the son of Moshe, the son of Menashe, I would like to add a few important nekudos. First of all, the Baal HaTurim in Sefer Shmois, Perek Beis, Pasuk Tezayin, explains how did it come to pass that a grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, would become a Koimer L'Avodah Zarah, a priest for the Avodah Zarah. And he explains that when Moshe asked the Yisrael to marry his daughter, Yisri at that time, who was not yet a ger, stipulated that he would only agree if Moshe would raise his son, his first son, to serve Avodah Zarah. And Moshe made a shvu and he agreed. Moshe understood that once he becomes the son of Yisri, he will be able to be mashpi on him, to show him the truth, that Hashem Echad Ushmei Echad, and then Yisroi will release him from that oath. However, since in fact Moshe took the oath, Hashem felt that he should not have done that, and he was punished that he had a grandson who became a koimer to the Avodah Zarah. The Rashbam in Bava Basra, in the Bavli, Daf Kuf Yud, tells us that Yoinesin didn't actually believe in the Avodah Zarah, as we see in our sugya. When people came to serve the Avodah Zarah and bring them korbanos, Yoinesin tried to discourage them and tried to show them that the Avodah Zarah is incapable of doing anything. And the lashon of the Rashbam and Bava Basra is Yasker Atzmoi Devri Amaschel, that he would rent himself out to the Avodah Zarah to be a priest. Says the Rashbam, Elo Shaloi Yehe Liboy L'Avodah Zorah. His heart shouldn't be to the Avodah Zorah. And therefore, Yonason thought he's not doing anything wrong. If for Parnassa, he's a Kaimer to the Avodah Zorah, and he discourages people from serving the Avodah Zorah. On that, David HaMelech told him, know that your grandfather Moshe was only Mater Avodah Shehu Zoraloi, skinning a Nevela Beshuk, is a work that is not cut out for you, and it's a bizoin for you to do it. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was matur for Parnassah, but not to be a priest for the Avodah Zorah, even if you yourself don't believe in it. Now, if we look in the Bavli, in the Rashbam, in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Yud, the grandson, Meir Landau, pointed out this Rashbam in the Sugya there in Bava Basra, Divri Amaskel Sheshav Lekel B'chol Liboy. So the Rashbam, and I quote, says, Achshav Shehoi Eloi Mamon Harbe. He returned to Hashem with all his heart, now that he had a lot of money. And then the Rashbam adds, "V'i mishum nechsev v'yoynesim ben Gershom ben Menashe, who born of Kahanim l'shevet Adoni ad yoyim galoy so'aretz, v'amrinim b'seder oylem ad yoyim shegola matei don upisloy shel micha imoy, kach mefurish perek basra de brachas Yerushalmi masvinele v'oksev ad yoyim galoy so'aretz." Amri Kivun Shemeiz David Amat Shloima, etc. In other words, the Bavli ends off and just says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Sheshav Lakeil B'chol Liboy. He returned to Hashem with all his heart. The Rashbam makes 2 points. Number one, how was he able to return to Hashem with all his heart? Achshav Shehoi Eloi Mamon Harbe. Now that he had a lot of money, so this seems to be a pella. Is that returning to Hashem with all your heart? Now that you have a lot of money, so, and when you don't have money, when Shlomo replaced David's ministers, and Yonason no longer was the minister of the treasury, then he went back to the Avodah Zarah. So how could we call that Sheshav Lekel B'chol Liboy? That's, L'chor, we would say that's not B'chol Liboy, it's dependent if you have money. If you don't have money, you're going to go back. That's one question. What the Rashbam is trying to ask is, the Bavli ends off that he returned to Hashem with his whole heart. That's why he's called by the name of Shivu El, Sheshav Lekel B'chol Liboy. Ask the Rashbam, well, we find that he and his children were Kohanim to the Pesel Micha, to the Avodah Zorah, until they went into the Golus with Sancheiriv, with the Esther Shvatim, which was 1,000 years after Sefer Shoftim, when Yonason lived. So we see that he was an Oved Avodah Zorah till the end. So the Rashbam says that this question is asked by our Yerushalmi, and our Yerushalmi answers that he did shuv in the days of David, but when Shlomo changed the cabinet and took away the ministry of the treasury from Yonason, and then he went back to his old ways. Now, from the Pashtus, if one learns without the Rashbam, if one learns the Yerushalmi as we have learned, and then you see the Bavli in Bava Basra of Kuf Yud, it would seem that there's a Machlagis Bavli in Yerushalmi, because the Bavli comes after Yerushalmi. Why didn't the Bavli end off the last piece that when Shlomo changed the head of the treasury, Yonason went back? The Bavli doesn't say v'chulu, etc., that the story continues. It seems from the Bavli, the end of the story is he did tshuva. And yet, the Rashbam doesn't say it's Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi. The Rashbam makes it as if the Bavli stopped, but the story continues. As we find in Yerushalmi, there is no Machlokes. So perhaps we can understand this with a small Tosfos in Bava Basra, Divrei Maskil Shmuel ben Gershom. Now, we have in the Gemara the Girsa Shuel ben Gershon ben Menashe. Taisus Girsa was ben Moshe. Hachi Garsinen, Moshe. Our Girsa, the correct Girsa, is Moshe. She'ein l'kroyis al-shem Menashe. We shouldn't call Shvuel on the name of Menashe. She'arei kvar shav b'choli boy. Shvuel means he returned to Hashem with his whole heart. So then, the nun that was up in the air, we're not going to use that nun. We're going to call him just by the name Moshe. Therefore, we should be Goris Moshe. But then, concludes Taisus, v'yesh the Goris ben Menashe, like we have in our Gemara. Some are Goris ben Menashe, v'taima. Lafisha chazer l'kulkulai k'dapirish ha'kuntris. Because he went back, as Rashi explains, we have in the Rashbam, that he went back to serving the Avodah Zarah. So it could be, we could say, that the Rashbam had the gears of Ben Menashe. So therefore the Rashbam understood that the Bavli is not Cholik on Yerushalmi. Einichanami, the Bavli didn't spell out the end of the story. Perhaps the Bavli was Soymich on Yerushalmi, but the Bavli alluded to it, because the Bavli brought the gears of Ben Menashe. So the Bavli is showing that at the bottom line, at the end, he was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He went back to his old ways. The remez is, because even though we call him Shvuel, but who is his grandfather? We don't want to mention that it's Moshe, because at the end, Taisus says, Yesh Tegoras Ben Menashe V'taima L'fisha Chazer L'Kulkula. He went back at the end. That's the illusion. And that's why the Rashbam does not make it a Machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi, but rather, the Rashbam speaks out that you'll find the answer to the question. If he's Shvuel, then how could you say he served the Komer Avodah Zarah till they went into Golus? The Yerushalmi asks your question and answers, there was a switch in the ministry, he went back to his old ways. However, if we are Goyrus, like Taisus seems to say, the Iker Girsa should be, because he says, Hochi Garsina Moshe, and then he says, V'yesh Tegoris Ben Menashe. But the Iker Girsa from Taisus seems to be Ben Moshe. So then it would seem, according to that Girsa, that there's no illusion in the Bavli that he went back to his old ways. And the conclusion of the Bavli is Sheshav L'Kel B'Cholibay, and it seems that the Bavli argues with Yerushalmi and held that at the end he did Shuva B'Cholibay. Now, if we say that he went back to his old ways, Ben Menashe, and like the Rashbam says, there's no machlokes Bavli Yerushalmi, the Bavli also agrees, because the gear says Ben Menashe, there's an illusion that he went back to his old ways. What is the answer to the question we began with, that the Rashbam says, Shav L'Keo B'chol Liboy, and the Rashbam immediately says, Achshav Shohar L'Mom and Harbi. Now that he had a lot of money, he went back to Hashem with his whole heart. But it's contingent on your money. And if you don't have the money, you go back to your old ways. How could you call that Shav L'Keo B'chol Liboy? So perhaps the answer is that I noticed there's a slight variation between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, how strong his tshuva was. The Bavli's lashon is sheshav lekel b'chol liboy. If we look in our Yerushalmi, it's a little different. Shuel sheshav el kel is the 6th lines from the bottom of the Amud. Sheshav el kel b'chol liboy uv'chol koychoy, with his whole strength. So it could be that the Rashbam had the gears of the Bavli, which is B'chol Liboy, and the Rashbam is saying, yes, if we'll say perhaps that B'chol Liboy means what it says in the Pasuk, B'chol Levavcha, U'v'chol Nafshecha, U'v'chol Moidecha. Moidecha, according to one pshat in Chazal, is all your money. Money is the strength of a person. Money causes a person to stand upright. He has power based on his money. That's his strength in this world. So the Bavli said, Shav l'kel b'chol liboy, b'chol levavcha, b'shnei yitzrecha, with your yetzer toiv and your yetzer ra. Says the Rashbam, Achshav shehoy loy mamon harbi, he had a lot of money. So he didn't anymore have any yetzer of parnasa. He had plenty of money. David saw he liked money, said the Yerushalmi, and he gave him this prestigious job where he had a good livelihood. Once that was taken away, then whatever Yetzer Hara he had left, he was able to channel it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Bavli says he shav lekel b'chol liboy. The Bavli says, but it wasn't b'chol koichoy, because koichoy is ma'oidoy, that's his mammon. That was the fallacy. That was the weak spot. Einachanam, he was able to be shav lekel b'chol liboy, b'chol levavcha, b'shnei yitzurecha, but he wasn't able to come back to Hashem b'chol ma'oidoy, b'chol koichoy, with all his money, because when he didn't have money, he went back to being a Koimer Lavayda Zara. What do we do with the Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi says, Sheshav el kel b'chol libay u'v'chol koich. And if we're learning b'chol koich, it means b'chol moidecha. How could we say that he was shav el kel with his whole heart and with his whole koich, with his mo'oidai, when in fact it was all based on having money or not having money? So another grandson who I was learning this sugi with, Yitzhak Hunger, asked me a question. Well, if we're going b'chol levav, b'chol ma'oidcha, what happened to b'chol nafshicha? When I heard that question, I said, now you're answering with your question the question we just raised. According to Yerushalmi, who says he was shav el keil b'chol libay b'chol koichoy, how could we say that when we see it was all dependent on money? The answer is, according to the Yerushalmi, what was missing was b'chol nafshicha. Because as I recently heard from Rabbi Fran Shlita, that in the olden times, b'chol nafshicha meant actually taking a person's life. In America, 100 years ago, a person who didn't come to work on Shabbos, he lost his job. He got a pink slip. He had to find a new job the next week. And there was a person who collected all the pink slips that he got every week from a different job, and he hung them in his sukkah as noi sukkah. And he pointed out, we don't have b'chol nafshicha, literally our lives, we don't have an assign of parnasa on Shabbos. What's our b'chol nafshicha? And he said, nafshicha means im yesh es nafshichem. Nafshichem means your rotzen. Asei ritzoin cha kirtzoin noi. We have to mevatel our nefesh, our rotzen. But here we could say by Shvuel, we could say he was b'chol levavcha. He had money, so his yetzer, whatever he had, he was able to channel to Hashem. We could even say it was b'chol koicha. He was able to give up all his money, but when it came to mesiras nefesh, when mamish, he had no money left. Perhaps he gave up all his money. But at the point when he had no money left, and now it's an asoyan, what's the food that I'm going to put on my table for my children, for my wife? When it came to that rock bottom, the mesiras nefesh that for b'chol nafshecha, mamish, that mesiras nefesh, that was missing. So according to the Bavli, the b'chol moitcha was missing. Only it was b'chol vavoy. It wasn't b'chol koichai, and that's why he went back. If we say that the Bavli agrees that he went back, according to Yerushalmi, we could even say b'chol liboy, u'b'chol koichai. He gave up all his money, but when it came to the ultimate sacrifice of b'chol nafshecha, afil noitlis nafshecha, or in his case, afil noitlis parnoscha, and you have nothing, and you have a tremendous nesoyin, he wasn't able to say, no, I'm not going to be a koimer to the Avodah Zarah anymore. He didn't want to get that pink slip. He wanted to get parnasa. That's what he told the person. I need parnasa. That's why I'm in this line. So perhaps this is a yishuv to both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi.